They produce numerous revenue estimates, budget papers, and fiscal impact estimates on bills and amendments. We explore the work of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau on The Morning Show. I'm Kay Darcher-Kent, a nonpartisan agency serving at the pleasure of the Joint Committee on Legislative Organization, preparing reports for Joint Finance Committee. Bob Lang has led the Bureau since 1977, joining in 71 as a fiscal analyst. A joint resolution of the Assembly last week recognized his imprint on both the agency and the legislature as a whole. What questions do you have about how the Fiscal Bureau puts together its numbers? What do you want to know about the budget surplus and forecasting state revenue? 800-642-1234. Bob Lang is director of Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Good morning. There's that word that comes before the name of your bureau, that it is the word nonpartisan. And I'm wondering, what does that mean to you and your work?
Well, the Wisconsin legislature has really had a history of nonpartisan legislative service agencies, starting way back in 1904 when the Legislative Reference Bureau was created. There are five nonpartisan service agencies, and effectively what it means is that we serve both houses, both parties, all 132 legislators, and we do not get involved in the partisan aspects of the legislature or state government. So we don't get involved in fundraising activities, we don't endorse candidates, we don't sign petitions. All of the things that one would associate with partisanship, we're not involved in. Rather, we are attempting to do what we can to provide factual information in a fair and an unbiased way, and to do what we can to assist the legislature and our government to move forward.
Well, I'm thinking 1904, Bob wasn't around then. But, you know, the phrase institutional memory really has nothing on you with your half century in the Bureau. What has kept you at the Fiscal Bureau for so many decades?
I think there's really two primary things. One is that I have a great deal of respect for the legislature as an institution, and it's a privilege to work with them and the individuals that I work with who have put their name on a ballot and asked their friends and neighbors and families to help them represent them at the seat of government. So one is certainly the institution itself, and the second is that the individuals that I work with on a daily basis at the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. We have a staff of 30. We've been at that number for a number of years. These are bright, talented folks that I have the privilege of working with on a daily basis. And I think those two things in particular have made this a career for me that I've been proud of and that I enjoy. And it's the reasons that I have stayed here as long as I have.
So with that staff of 30, you have a number of them being fiscal analysts, and you've seen over the decades many new fiscal analysts come on board. I'm wondering, what do you try to instill in them and the skills of the job?
Just as brief background, of the 30, we have an administrative staff of three, and then the rest of us are fiscal analysts, basically providing fiscal and policy information, program information to the legislature. So the background of our folks, we have four attorneys on the staff. We don't ask them to do legal work in the sense of rendering legal opinions. They happen to be people, two of them practiced law, two did not. They came to us out of law school and wanted to do this kind of work rather than legal work. And the rest of us have, we have one or two BAs on the staff, and then we have the rest have master's degrees in such backgrounds as mathematics, economics, public policy, public administration, typically master's degree programs from those type of schools. And we think it's important that we understand First, how the legislature functions or operates. We don't expect anyone to know that when they come into the Bureau. Hopefully we train them in that aspect. And the second part of the job is to really understand the programs that they're assigned to. Each of our analysts has a specific set of responsibilities, a specific number of agency budgets that they're responsible for. And then knowing as much as they can about the subject matter of these government programs. We have approximately 50 state agencies in the Wisconsin government, and they are all assigned to our staffs. Some agencies are very large, like University of Wisconsin System, Department of Transportation, Department of Health Services. Some are quite small. But what we want to do is ensure that we have knowledge about all of those agencies, their budgets, and their programs in order that we can assist the legislature the best way that we can.
Sounds like they really have to become subject matter specialists within the agencies that they look after, so to speak.
Yes, they do. And we work in teams. We have six teams. For example, there's a tax team, an education team, an environmental team, health services team, transportation, property tax, general government team. Each team has a team leader and 3 to 5 analysts, and we work on the specific subject matter of each of those six areas.
Bob Ling with us, Director of Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau. What do you want to know about the work of the Bureau? What questions do you have about how budget reports come together? Or fiscal impact statements, 800-642-1234. So in January of each year, your office does this review of the status of the state's general fund, and you present your findings. And then in the even-numbered years, you also look at these economic forecasts and tax collections and expenditures, and you project out. And this is super significant. Lawmakers really hanging on these numbers. What was remarkable about this $3.8 billion fund balance?
I think the most remarkable thing was how tax collections continued to be so strong, even in the last 2 years of the pandemic. We really started in February and March of 2020, when the pandemic really hit. Most economic forecasters thought that revenues, tax collections, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country would decline significantly. And we just decided at that time we would just wait and look at actual collections. We see tax collection data on a regular basis. Every month we see what we've collected in that month. And the strength of this, of our revenues, of our tax collections, is really quite incredible given this pandemic. But we've seen with the federal stimulus dollars, our unemployment numbers are quite low. Our sales tax numbers were strong. We're seeing a lot of individuals who are purchasing retail purchases online through Amazon, Wayfair, other remote sellers. And the strength of the numbers, both in terms of all three of our major taxes, the individual income tax, the corporate income tax, and the sales tax, have just been significantly strong. And in very large part, that brought about our belief that we would end with this surplus of $3.8 billion at the end of this biennium. And we're not alone in this. Our counterparts around the country are seeing the same thing occur. So if there was one thing that was, I think, perhaps the most startling for us, looking back at 2 years, where we'd be now, just to see the strength in tax collections that we've realized.
That's interesting you say that, because I noticed that as well. States like Minnesota, even Rhode Island, really underestimating the pandemic's economic recovery, the rebound. And so it wasn't, as you mentioned, just not isolated to Wisconsin that you're seeing this happen.
That's correct. And of all of our counterparts, in other words, all of the other 49 states, I'm not aware of one that is seeing a decline in their collections. And the states that you mentioned and so many, many others are seeing the same pattern that we're seeing with regard to tax collections accruing to states.
Well, let's bring on a caller now. John is with us from Eau Claire. Hi, John. What is your question?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Bob for the fine work he's done for such a long time. Secondly, I'd like to ask him a question, and the question is, at what rate does Wisconsin currently borrow money, and how do you compare that with the 18% that the Department of Revenue charges people, poor people who are delinquent in their income tax? It looks like a mafia operation to me.
Well, in terms of borrowing, our bond rating has always been very strong, which is really important, how rating agencies look at your bonds. We've been AAA plus and now AA plus and now AAA. We've never defaulted, and although rates are going up somewhat, we were in the 3-4% range for a long time in terms of what we're borrowing money at, sometimes lower than that. We typically borrow over a 20-year period, and the delinquencies on income taxes and other delinquencies, you're correct in that they're actually set by statute, so it's not a number that the Department of Revenue or other departments that collect funds sort of establish on their own. There are statutory rates of delinquency, both penalty and interest, that are assessed. But you are correct; those rates are certainly higher than what the state is borrowing money at.
Bob Ling directs the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. We're looking back through the years at the work of his office, what it's done, what it does today. Still time to ask about fiscal estimates, about budget reports, projections. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute with Bob Ling here on the Ideas Network. He's served more than four decades in the administrations of nine governors, more than a half century of service to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Director Bob Ling is on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state legislature honored his professional career and service to the Bureau last month with a joint resolution commending him for the indelible mark he has made on the legislature. What questions do you have on how the Fiscal Bureau provides independent analysis on fiscal and policy issues? How important is a fiscal impact statement in deciding whether you support a particular piece of legislation? 800-642-1234. Bob Ling with us for about nine more minutes. I want to go back in time here and look at some of the reports that you've issued. Your office did analysis on Act 10 and had found public workers earning $50,000 a year saw their take-home pay shrink by about 8.5% because they had to pay for their benefits. What do you recall from reviewing the fiscal impact of Act 10?
Well, Act 10 was, as you well know, a very controversial time in state government. And so when the legislation came forward, we looked at what the fiscal impact would be. And in particular, as you mentioned, with state employees were for a number of years not making contributions to the pension system, the state was effectively picking up the not only the employer share but the employee share. And so that meant that employees paid a portion of their wages into the retirement system, and also there were requirements on state employees picking up some or more of their health insurance premiums. I think that aspect of it. We had data that we could understand and know what the impact of that would be in terms of what those contributions would be. And so we had sufficient data that we could make some estimates. The other thing is it affected local governments. And so we get some sense of what local governments were doing. By local governments, I mean towns, villages, cities, municipalities, counties, school districts had for health insurance and what their own requirements were in that regard and other factors. And so, again, it was controversial, but in terms of the numbers themselves, I think we had data that we could provide sufficient estimates of what the fiscal impact of that legislation would be. I think that aspect of it was not as controversial as some other aspects of the act, which impacted union representation and other things in government. It was a long, contentious battle, one that we were heavily involved in, but I think we were above the fray and did the best that we could to provide data that the legislature and governor's office could rely on.
So it sounded like you had really good, solid data that you could gather from so many different sources, and good data in, good data out. You were able to really give some clear indications of what this piece of legislation meant to Wisconsin.
I think so. And the key here is where to find data, what kind of sources you have, how to use those sources. And you know, we rely on a number of in that case, just so many organizations to assist us and to assist the legislature in determining that. And there were really, you know, under Act 10, there were really sort of two broad aspects to it. One was the fiscal aspect. The other is just the impact it had on individuals, in particular union organizations and other things that a number of people were as concerned with, if not more so, than the fiscal aspect of it itself.
Talking with Bob Ling, director of Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau, as we go through time and fiscal estimates, what they mean for our state, you can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. So Foxconn arrives, the Foxconn Project 2017. The Bureau finds that Wisconsin taxpayers would not recoup their investment in Foxconn until at least 2043. What was it like to do fiscal analysis on incentive packages funded by taxpayers?
In that case, on the Foxconn legislation, there were some external sources that did some analysis of it, and the Department of Administration did also, and we reviewed their data and their analysis and looked forward. One of the things that's always difficult is when you're projecting that far ahead, you have to factor in certain behavioral factors that you believe may occur. In some cases, they don't occur. Mm-hmm. But you give it your best estimate. I mean, in terms of the whole projection on Foxconn was how many employees they'd have, what their construction costs were, because the state was basically saying we'll pick up a percentage of the payroll of those individuals that work for Foxconn, depending on how many employees they hire, looking at what their construction costs were, because the state picked up a certain portion of their construction cost, and also provided that sales tax would not apply on the building of those construction projects. So much of it was saying, okay, the state is really committing to a $3 billion investment in Foxconn, assuming those construction projects and those employee numbers materialized over time. At what point do we hit a break point? And as you indicated, that break point was out some time. In reality, we've seen that the number of individuals employed by Foxconn are are nowhere near what those initial estimates were going to be. A lot of the construction projects were, but they didn't have enough employees to generate the kind of refundable tax credits that they that would materialize because the employees weren't there. So those things have varied, and the Foxconn contract has since been renegotiated by Governor Evers and the board that oversees Foxconn. So I think it was an important piece of legislation, an important analysis that looked at what's the breakpoint for the state if we're committing this much in terms of funding to this one entity.
Okay, so here's one last one. You weren't around for Wisconsin's huge budget deficit of 1921, but the head of the Board of Control, I was looking here in the archives, warned that state prisons, colleges, hospitals didn't have enough money to pay staff through the end of the fiscal year. But do you recall a time that was equally dire in history when our coffers were the opposite of today?
There were a couple that really stand out. One would have been, and this dates me, but one was back in the late 70s and the early 80s under Governor Dreyfus and Governor Earle. Mm. It was a severe downturn in the economy, not only in Wisconsin, but in this country. And that was clearly one. The other one was about 10 or 11 years ago, the last real recession that we had, and it was really quite significant. Our revenue numbers just fell off the table very, very, very quickly in the spring months of March and April or so. We saw, gosh, the numbers, especially individual income tax, was really declining. At that time, there was federal stimulus money. President Obama was president. There was stimulus money that came through the federal government. It helped with some of our programs. But I think in all the time I've been here, those were probably the two most difficult times for the legislature.
Well, Bob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed being with you.